Hey, it's Brad, host of Your Weekly Calling. Look, Mondays are tough. Your alarm hates you, your coffee betrays you, your boss schedules a meeting at 8:01 like he's Thanos snapping your joy away. That's why I drop a new episode every Monday to help you focus, laugh a little bit, and remember that God's still calling you to more, even if your brain is still in the buffering phase. Trust me, you want this in your ears every Monday. Like and subscribe to Your Weekly Calling because purpose doesn't take weekends off.
Hey everybody, this is Ashley Arpel Steinbach, host of Locks of Laughs, Work Advice for Me, and of course, Movie Torture, aka I am the queen of the Hopecast Network. Or if you ask me, the queen bee. I hope you're all enjoying the amazing shows we have here on the Hopecast Network, and if you are, please don't forget to like and subscribe everywhere that you listen to or watch your podcasts.
This is the Hopecast Network. Stories and shows you actually want to listen to.
Episode 15 of the Heart Conviction Podcast on the Hopecast Network with me, your host and cellmate, Nina Palmer. Welcome, Sally. Please don't go switching cells on me. I mean, we're in this together now. By the time this podcast comes out, I believe it's like 11 days till Christmas. So Merry Christmas. Hope y'all are enjoying the season. What Christmas music are you in now? I have now entered kind of boy band Christmas. NSYNC's Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays. Kind of there, just really fun. I know you know what I'm talking about. And the title of this episode is a Christmas song. Christmas makes me cry. It's very fitting for what we're going to talk about. So I'm going to go ahead and rate this episode for you. This is going to be for anybody who's ever had a heavy heart during the holidays. And I am going to tell my story of a sad Christmas. And I hope that it's relatable to those. And if it's not, if you're living this human experience, you probably will have a holiday that hurts a little bit. And it's kind of good to know. And I don't know how anybody gets through anything without plugging into something higher. I know that I cannot be my main source of comfort or understanding or peace. I couldn't be. So how can we ever talk about the hard times or get through the hard times without talking a little bit about a higher power, a higher understanding, and a comfort that's available to us to tap in. So, you know, full circle with Christmas music and the title of this song, and we're going to talk about that. First, let's get into our bulletin. This is just a reminder of what I said in the past episodes about the holidays, that if you have the ability to help anybody this season that might have a heavy heart, who could be going through new loss, old loss, heartbreak, if they're lonely, if they don't have anywhere to go, think about the people in your life who are single or widowed or any of the sort, even the programs they do at the shelters where you can go get the dog for Christmas, anything. Think of any way that you could literally change the outcome and the memory and spare somebody from having a sad or heavy heart this holiday. It's one of the most special ways to kind of catch that Christmas magic that we're all searching for. And it'll change you. It'll change the way you think when you think about somebody. If you are hosting, you have a responsibility to have a seat at your table for somebody who wouldn't normally have a good Christmas, because it can hit so hard when they don't. I think about all the people who are incarcerated during Christmas, and I was just in jail for Easter. It was just Easter. And it is like as though that place can't get worse. And then it does. And I can't imagine what a Christmas season would feel like. At least Easter is sort of kind of just like one isolated day. But the whole Christmas season to be in there, My heart hurts so bad for those people. And that kind of takes me to last week's episode. Did y'all listen to last week's episode? I hope that you listened and felt a fraction of what I felt for our friend Sean Johnson. Y'all, he was surprise granted early release from his prison sentence by 41 years. And I thought what was interesting is that I was like so pumped for him. My face could have melted off because that is a gift beyond a gift. It's a miracle. It's a second chance at life. A story like that is like, I could have wept for him. I couldn't believe when he told me that he was out, but he was kind of mellow. And I don't know if you noticed that, but I know exactly what it is. He had only been out 24 hours. And y'all, when you are forced to live in such a dull environment with no hopes, no dreams, not a ton of individuality, not connection with those you truly love, a part of you genuinely has to die. I've watched reports of people who get incarcerated who have kids, and they say that you just kind of have to shut off that part of your brain because you can no longer parent. And you put it in a chapter behind you and you die to it. And it is the saddest thing to watch people get long sentencings. I was watching the people that I was incarcerated with await long prison sentencing, and you could just see them fade out every day more and more and more. And it really is this like death to self. And I have a feeling that our good friend Sean, now he was sweet and genuine and so well-spoken and great, but kind of calm for what had happened. We're not talking 12 months early out. We're not talking 2 years, 41 years. He literally was gifted his life. It's a rebirth. But I think all his senses are kind of reawakening. He's probably overstimulated. He's probably in awe of real life again. To think he hasn't seen color on the walls or had, ready for this, or had privacy. He's already been in there 20 years. Unfathomable. We are rejoicing with you. If you haven't listened to that episode, go back and listen to that episode because it's really powerful. And let's be mindful of all those people who are incarcerated this Christmas. Now, not y'all who are getting Christmas DUIs and going to jail for the night. Okay. We ain't crying for you. We kind of are. You know what else I'm thinking about this season, y'all? If you know, you know. This flu A that's going on crept its little greasy paws into me and about took me out. Y'all, it's like worse than COVID. It is so brutal. So when I tell you, if you're trying to have a good Christmas and not be laid up in that bed, like wondering what's going on inside your body, wash your dang hands. I don't know what to tell you, but you need to watch out. If someone's sick, you better run to the hills because that flu A hit me so hard. And I'm getting text messages from all my friends who even live in different states. Like, I'm so sick. It is like shoots of pain through your body. I have never had that kind of physical pain from a flu. Don't get it, y'all. Say a prayer. Bless your house. Ask for health. Dear God, health over these listeners. Because I'm going to tell you what, you will not have a Christmas if you're doing that this year. So, and you know what? I'm sure someone who has it right now is listening and they're like, thank you. Y'all, I was having symptoms that like I didn't even know could be associated with the flu. If you don't know the flu type A, this it's like the virus this year. They say it's close to COVID. If you don't know what that is, y'all, it ain't good. I can promise you, and I can tell you that. Okay, I'm going to give you some gift giving ideas. Like I've been, I am a self-proclaimed excellent gift giver. So hear me when I say this. Okay, first of all, this is the Newark / Hebron, Ohio showing in me. And if y'all know, we have like Harry and David headquarters there, like their call centers and I think distribution centers. That's like those big, beautiful gift baskets. And those unearthly, heavenly boxes of pears. Do you know what the heck I'm talking about? Y'all, the Harry and David pears, it's like one of the tastes on this earth that I think is like it's like godly. Like I think like, okay, this is what food in heaven tastes like. I don't know how they make them. I don't know where they come from. I don't know why there's not any other pear that's ever tasted. It's probably like generated in a lab. I don't care. I don't know. But you got y'all gift somebody that freaking Harry and David pears. I mean it. Send them those Harry and David pears. I send them myself because I associate them with Christmas that I want them. And so every year I send myself a box of Harry and David pears. Now, I got really lucky last year in Dallas Central Market, which is like my favorite grocery store. They had them. They had them in the gift boxes with the gold foil wrapping that they come in. I was buying them like twice a week. And if you saw me last year for Christmas, that's probably what you got for a present because there's no, that's greater. They also have this like fruit of the month subscription that my dad used to always send people. And I often do it too. It's really cool. You can do like 3 months, I think 5 months, 6 months, 12 months. And they send like a really like luxe fruit to somebody for a month. That's a, do you know how much I would love to get? Yeah, I do know because I sent it to myself. The fruit of the month. It's just such a good gift. I'm telling you, do it. My next tip for gift giving is, this is for you men, especially if you have a lot of women in your life, sisters, like a wife, teenage daughters, a mom, ancestors, or nieces, whatever. Buy the bundles of things. Like go into the store, say like, what Christmas cosmetic bundles do you have this year? They'll have big ones. They'll tell you, big baskets of like Lancome, or on TikTok they have them. I'm super into this, like, I think it's called Medicube, right? They have these huge bundles for like $70, really good products. You get a bunch of them, buy them and divide and conquer and give those things out. Like, let's say you got like a bunch of daughters and some nieces, divide those things up because then you're spending like $6-7 a piece on each item opposed to the stores where it's like $20 or $30. Even the Tarte bundles on TikTok, they're so good. They come gift packaged already. Send those out, save the buck, make it easy on yourself. People will love them. And if you don't like know these brands or know exactly like what to look for, just ask a woman in your life, like, hey, what big cosmetic bundle would people love to share? I'm telling you, that's a good one. Something to look forward to now for the new year to come. We are going to enter a series about good and evil. And good and evil is my favorite topic in the spiritual realm because when you get really good at sniffing out evil and when you start putting all your thoughts, all your words, all your actions, all your life choices, all your relationships through a good and evil filter, it changes everything. Being keen to what evil is, its tactics, its ways, the manipulation in it, that changes everything too. And there is a vast difference in somebody who has a scope of good and evil and somebody who doesn't, even Christians, because the enemy is constantly looking for ways to kind of infiltrate or plant seeds or get you to veer away from real truth or scriptural direction. And the second that you're bright to that, it's like the education of it changes the way you function. And I had a real, I don't know what to call it, like pivotal point in my life where I was like, you know what? It's all pretty black and white. It's all good and evil. And it changed the way I thought. And so when I preach and teach at churches, I almost can't get into any topic without being like, hey, how aware are you to good and evil? How often are you weighing out what is good, what is evil? And it's a game changer. It's a spiritual game changer. It'll change the way you function. And that in return, it turns you into a bit of a truth seeker. And it's just a way of living. And so as we go on about other topics and spiritual topics and things in this life and world, I think we have to have that talk to even be on any kind of relatable page of what we're talking about. And if I counsel you, you'll hear me say it a ton. I'll just say it on repeat. It's such an important conversation. And every time I go to talk about it, okay, things go wrong around me, even me trying to do this recording today, because the enemy hates being exposed, hates being talked about, hates light being shunned on anything. And he wants to keep his little greasy fingers in the dark. He doesn't want you to know what he does or how he tries to come at people. He wants you to kind of blindly sift through all this, make your own rules, do right by yourself, create your own spiritual government, and function out of that. And that goes for Christians also. And that thought of good and evil really saved me as I handled church and Christians and dynamics and non-Christians and this world and evil, all of it. The way I treat people, the way I had to die to myself to some degree, I knew that that was for the team of good. And it's a different way of thinking. It's different for even Christians. So we're going to do that in January. And then that will lead us into February, where we are going to start the Church Hurt series. And it's going to be a real love letter and a cry to the church for them to shape up, to reform, to change, to open their eyes and their ears. And where I came from in church, where I'd like to go in church, and what I think our biggest obstacles and issues are in the modern day church. So big topics ahead. They are not only for Christians. They're not. And if you are not a believer, you know what? I'm going to speak to you too. We're going to do a whole episode on how do you kind of welcome spirituality into your life? How do you do it right when you live alternative lifestyles that have been rejected by most Christians or deemed as too far gone, or it's like a blatant kind of known stereotypical sin or whatever? How do you plug into spirituality too? And I'm going to address you too. So it's going to be really good. This is not going to be your podcast where we're just talking about like current events and, you know, what's cooking and blah, 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 celebrities. Who cares? What about our souls? What about real life? We have to talk about those things. And so we are going to get into that also. And then what we're going to do this month is I'm going to talk to you next week about Mary. Listen, you thought the pilgrims were gangster. Mary is the OG. Okay. And I'm not talking about like in a, like a kind of a Catholic way. I'm talking about like, she was so just gangster. Like, I love Mary and I love the pilgrims. When I get to heaven, I got a series. Okay. It's going to be like, where are my parents? I need to go ahead and catch up with them. And God, I need to know why that happened the way it did. Next, where's JonBenet Ramsey? I might want to see her even before my parents. Not sure. Maybe. Because I know my parents were there, and I guess I know she is too. But like, I know why my parents kind of are there. I need to know what's going on. JonBenet, I'm looking for you, sis. Please be waiting for me at the pearly gates. I'm going to be eagerly busting down those gates. I do want to see Jesus, but then I really want to see JonBenet. But then after that, it's the pilgrims and it's my girl, Mary. Okay. We're going to talk about Mary. And then, hey, the love or hate polarizing topic of New Year's resolutions. And I think this topic is so funny because I cannot believe the negative reactions people have to New Year's resolutions. They like don't want them. They're like weirded out by them. I don't know if they think like they're set to fail or if it's like too lofty, pie in the sky. Like, I can't New Year's resolution, you know, I don't know. But I want to encourage you to just start thinking, like, if you don't do it, why not? It's not cheesy. Like, it's incredible to grow. It's a fresh start. It's a new year. I was just telling my husband, his birthday's in December, and I said, you kind of have it cool. Do you know that? Like, every year you live, you are like one age, like pretty much the whole year. Isn't that kind of cool? Like, you knew that year you were this age. You knew this year you were that age. And it's kind of a cool that he gets that fresh start and just like one solid age the whole year. It's kind of, for you, December, January birthdays, it's kind of cool. But what a cool time to reset and make some goals. And I think where we go wrong is we think that our New Year's resolutions have to be like, I'm going to start a company. It doesn't have to be. What about like an emotional New Year's resolution? What if you finally work through some of those things that you haven't been? What if it was like a physical thing? Like, even if there's just a part of you that needs to be healed, like let's say you have like a really bad shoulder, like what if you just worked on that this year? Like little goals. And so it could be financial goals. It could be like food goals. Like you could be like, this is the year I become an even better cook. Here are the 5 meals I'm going to just knock out of the park. And so I don't want it to be such a bad, heavy topic. I listened to another podcast where they love making a theme of the year instead of like a resolution. It'll be like, this year the theme is, you know, whatever, travel, food, movement, music, laughter. That's kind of like the essence of life. So if you aren't doing that, you're kind of missing out on this like great opportunity to do it. Then there's those people on the far other side that are making like vision boards and words of the year. I like it all. I'm going to give you some just ideas about New Year's resolutions and different kinds, but let me give you some emotional resolutions you could start. You could start counseling, therapy. I highly recommend pastoral counseling within a church. I think it's more effective. How about inner healing? I offer inner healing too. If you're interested, DM me, message me, email me, ninapalmermanagement@gmail.com, or have me come speak at your church about inner healing. You could start going to church. You could explore your spirit. You could explore your spirituality. You could maybe have a church that you attend, even if you only go monthly or every other month, just something a little higher to plug into. It sure enough can't hurt. And God forbid you learn something. What if you worked through a certain emotion? What if you said, okay, this year, finally, I'm going to work through this that hurt me, or I'm going to come to a conclusion with this or look for restoration in this area. What if you made a commitment to a certain family member that you struggle with in your family? What if it's a family member that you've had issues with, or you just struggle with them, like they bug you or they're not somebody you connect with, there's bad blood there? What if this year you said, this is a year I'm going to find a way to kind of find some peace in that area? The fruit of the spirit, that would be an emotional decision, right? What if you picked a fruit of the spirit that you're going to tap into? Like, I'm going to explore self-control this whole year. I'm going to get really good at it. And that's going to be my theme for the year. You could make more memories. You could say, I want to make more core memories with my kids. Like, we're going to have more tradition or vacations or hiking, or we're going to cook together. I'm going to start being more present with my kids and we're going to bake together, something like that. What if you explored your love languages, your love language, or your spouse's love language, or your kid's love language, and said, this is the year that I'm going to be really mindful to give you what your love language is, and then to maybe make mine known and what I need out of it. What if you did better self-talk, spoke to yourself differently, like kind of did that whole affirmation thing, pointed out the good things about yourself? This is the year I'm going to speak more kind to myself or invest into myself, whether that's self-care, physically, your hobbies that you love, you're gonna invest into yourself. Education, I love that topic. And what if you said, I'm gonna do better at having alone time for myself? I'm gonna figure out what alone time looks for myself, or I'm gonna start reading, or I'm gonna grow in these areas. It's just a time to work on yourself. Maybe it's your mental health. Maybe, you know what, an emotional goal for me is this year, I'm going to work through some of the past pain that, not that I wasn't willing to work through it, I just didn't know how to. I'm going to work on that next year. That's part of it. So I'm making a list. It becomes really fun after a while. And I have asked people in my life before, like, do you have a New Year's resolution? And they'll be like, yeah, no, I couldn't really think of one. And I'm like, what do you mean? Like, not crickets. This is when I wish I had a soundboard. Nothing. You have nothing you want. No dreams, aspirations. What about travel goals? What have you said, by October next year, I'm going to go to Europe? And you guys, it's like, come to the other side. Will you meet me over here on the side of self-improvement and growth and change? And I mean, could you meet me? Could you meet me over here? And for a lot of you, what if this is the year you fall in love? What if this is the year you emotionally prep to fall in love, or financially prep to like fall in love so you can be the best version of yourself? I don't know. We all just deserve a good 2026. I got a good feeling about it. So let's give to ourselves this year. Could we? It's something to think about. So let's get into our main topic, shall we? Oh, man. This has been a part of my life that was pivotal, changed everything. Probably one of the most defining things that ever happened to me, and it will happen to you too. And that is the topic of death and hard things that come around the holidays. And I'm good at talking about this topic, but it's a gut wrencher. It's a hard one. And I have had quite a few people, many conversations this year, in the last month or so, where people say, I'm struggling this year and I'm trying to celebrate, but this is a heavy year. It's an anniversary. Many things. I think of my dear friend John from Columbus, and his daughter passed this year. Terrible. Young girl, young 20s passed. And I think about him for this holiday season, and I wonder how he's coping with it. Thinking of your friend, and how are you functioning through this season? And I have my own personal story with it, and I'm going to share it with you. And I hope it gives you some perspective of it. So not all that many years ago, but now it's been a few, more than a few, and it feels as fresh as ever. Still trying to heal from it. And I was in my 20s, and it was interesting because it was Halloween, and it was actually like Halloween night. I had a Belle costume on. Christians don't come for me. And I got a phone call, and it was my dad. Now, I'm an only child, and I'm an only child from like really fun, special, great, incredible parents. And that's a special kind of bond. When parents who love each other have one solo child, it is like this intense love nest that you can't even fathom. The parents adore that one child, you know? And it's not a lot of child craziness, you know, oh, the kids are driving me nuts. It's not. It's this like very nurturing environment where this child is the center of these two people's world who love each other. And it's a different kind of bond. It's very special. It's unlike anything else. And I think it can also kind of create monsters. My other only children, friends, and whatever in my life, you know, when you're given that much love and attention in your life, it can create a different kind of monster. I had a coworker one time, and we were really bored one day. We were waiting for something, and we were just kind of talking, new to each other. And I said to him, okay, let's play a game where we ask questions about each other and we try to guess. And he was like, okay. And I said, how many siblings do you think I have? And he said, I think you're an only child. And I was like, oh my gosh, yes, you're right. How did you know that? And he said, well, because you want to play this game. And I was like, oh, is my only childness showing that much? And truth be told, like, I don't really recommend it. I wish I had siblings. But anyway, and so I not only was I an only child adored by parents who loved each other, but I had really, really fun, involved, very special and smart and interesting, musical, bilingual, hysterical, spiritual, just hilarious, really fun parents, really special people. And I just had this like dream ideal childhood that is like surreal. What a gift. And so our bond was tight. Our bond was really close. I was best friends with my parents, specifically, well, both, honestly, just both. But me and my dad were like the exact same person. And we would talk, oh my gosh, 10 times a day, my best friend. And me and my mom had a really special relationship too. I think often my dad and I drove her nuts, but we all really loved each other. Anyway, so it was Halloween, and my dad called me, and my dad said, your mom is really sick. And long story short, she was. And she had recently been diagnosed with cancer. I still don't fully understand it. Had like, it was like cancer in her like uterus and kind of all in there, but she had had a hysterectomy, so they'd taken it all out, but then the cancer kind of came back and grew in place of everything and kind of attached to everything. And it was pretty fatal. And she was told that she would die pretty quick. And I was so like shocked by it. We had had a truly blessed life, this beautiful, blessed life where things didn't go wrong. And God's favor was over everything we did. And there was so much love and favor and togetherness and just this really special life where you almost feel invincible. You feel like almost untouchable because life is so precious and special and meaningful. And God had just spared me from a ton of pain. Even at that age, I had never lost anybody yet besides one grandparent. And so to be, you know, in your 20s and have three grandparents left is really special. And they were all doing great at the time. And I just couldn't even believe the diagnosis. Like I was so shocked. And you kind of think you're above death until you go through death. And then when it comes, it's like, you know, the most sobering feeling you can have. And she was like in a really, they're telling me she's sick, and she was like herself though. She was really stable and in a good place. And she was talking to me about how she was going to die with her hair done and full makeup and cleaning the house and cooking and just the way she always had. And so I'm like, what do you mean you're going to die? Like, what? Like, how? She's like, yeah, you know, hospice is involved now. And I didn't even know what hospice was at the time. Now I got a well understanding of it now. But at the time I'm like, wait, what? What are you talking about? What is hospice? And she had a real peace to her about it, a calm, a waiting to go, if you will. And she spoke about death like she was going on a vacation to Greece. She was prepping for it and talking about it like it was no thing. And she was like, yeah, you know, I'm ready to go. And I was, and I'm like so shocked by all of it. And I'm like, ma'am, what are you talking about? Like, what? And she's like, yeah, you know, we all have to die. And again, we're sitting there, she's cooking, full makeup, just talking to me like it's normal. And I'm like, mom, what is going on? Like, I don't want you to die. I don't want you to go. And she said, I know. She goes, but you know, we're all going to die really soon. And I'm just going a little before you. And I think on that conversation all the time. And like, my mom was kind of a G. She definitely lived to the beat of her own drum. And that's all the way till death. And she was just like, yeah, I got to go. I got to get out of here. And she said, Nina, in 100 years, every single thing around us, every person you know, young or old, in our life will die. We'll all be gone by then. And she goes, with the exception of maybe like a few turtles, we're all going to be dead. And I was like, okay. So long story short, maybe one day we'll give like the long version of it. But I went into full-blown faith mode, and I really protested and petitioned with the Lord for her to live. And she did pretty good for like a couple weeks. And so I thought, you know, we're going to get a miracle. And then when she started to decline, it happened pretty quick, and it happened within a few months. And she went from really functioning to really not functioning, and the cancer started to take over. And it was just the saddest, just gut-wrenching to watch someone you love fade. It's shattering, and you change. And I felt everything shift in who I was. I felt the way I viewed life differently. I viewed my relationships differently. The things that I had grievances over shifted and changed and did not sit the same anymore. All your priorities are completely reevaluated, and you look at everything differently. And it's far different when somebody's dying earlier than what they're supposed to. We're not talking about somebody who got to live a full and long life. We're talking about somebody that should have had lots more time. And I felt too young to be sitting there watching my mom die. I was in such shock and in such a place of like holding on to hope and reading every scripture. And just, to call it sobering isn't enough. It's gut-wrenching. It'll shift every single thing about you. If you are somebody who has lost a parent when you were still young, my heart hurts for you. I empathize and I'm so sorry. And I know that you're probably burning. It feels like you're on fire when you're experiencing those things. And I love you and I'm sorry that you went through that. What ended up happening is her slow death backed up into Christmas. And oh man, you can forget Thanksgiving. That was out the window. I can't even remember what we did. I mean, it was nothing. We were caring for her, me and my dad, caring for her. And while it was awful and it was painful, and there's lots of topics within this for another time, but he would say to me, you know, let's enjoy taking care of her for this time. Let's just enjoy it. And he'd say, we get to be here with her. We get to serve her and honor her. And he made that very painful season so magic and special. And he really used it as an example to show me how to function through this very painful life with pure joy. Such a testament of Jesus, such a testament of how to live differently and to think differently and to take pain and count it all joy, like the Bible says. I would hear that scripture in my head on repeat, count it all joy. And he'd say, let's just count it all joy. Let's just count it all joy. And in all of it, he would say to me, I think God could heal her. I think he can. I think he can. And let's pray for it and let's hope for it. Why wouldn't he want that for us? I think he could turn this around at any moment. And he would say, but if this is her time to go, then we get to celebrate that too. We get to do it with her and we get to be here with her. And it was so beautiful the way he narrated that whole experience and the way he showed up for her and made it special and would do cute little things. And she'd be in and out. We'd have some days that were okay, but most were really hard. And he'd go, oh, I'm going to get her cute, fancy pajamas. You know, we're going to, she'll love it. She'll look so pretty in it. And he would little touches like that just to brighten the day or make it kind of special. And he said, you know, let's get like cute things for her room that she's going to be in. And we were trying to care for her at home. And he just brought this testament of joy and peace and Jesus and scripture. And he'd have his musician friends come over and play like in chords of healing. There are different kinds of music that are meant to kind of heal your brain. And he would have live music playing in her house. And it sounds wild. It sounds crazy. But that time somehow felt sort of celebratory. And he just wanted to give her the best of what we had to give, whether she made it or not. And there was such this feeling of hope that, I mean, she was like already halfway dead. And I'm like, hey, I have so much joy and hope right now in the middle of the season that this could all get turned around, I think, to the very end. And there's something beautiful in that too, whether you think it's delusional or not. There's something nice about it. But what ended up happening is, she was starting to fade out very close to Christmas, very, very close. And that spirit carried on into her death, which led up to, she ended up dying Christmas Eve. We are a 100% pure-blooded German culture family, both my parents, Bavarian Germans, 100%. And in German culture, Christmas Eve is sort of the main day of Christmas. And Germans really predominantly celebrate Christmas Eve, and we always have. And Christmas Eve is really like my favorite day of the whole year. And that's when we've celebrated Christmas my whole life. And that's when the main magic is and presents and togetherness. And it's Christmas Eve. And my mom died Christmas Eve. And oh, man, that's essentially Christmas for us. Christmas Eve is the main event for us. So she died on Christmas for us. And that could have been so brutal and so sad. And it is, no matter what, it's the worst. No matter what, it's awful. But my dad just spun such a different narrative to it. And he did it from the very beginning. And he said, the way the doctor's saying that this is looking and the way she's declining, you know, it's going to be around Christmas. And he said from the beginning, wouldn't it be so special if the day she got to leave, and the way we would say it from the church we were at the time is to get her upgrade to heaven, when she gets her upgrade, how cool, Nina, would it be, he would say to me, if it could be on Christmas. You know, we were already in this tough season. Whether she died 2 weeks before Christmas or 2 weeks after Christmas, this is always going to be around the season of her death. And he goes, I think she needs to go around Christmas. And he goes, you know, what a special day to celebrate Jesus's birth and for her to make full circle and die on that day. And he just changed the whole narrative of it. And he said, I love that. If this is how, if she's got to go, don't want her to go, but if she's got to go, why not should it be now? And he goes, you know, I want a miracle, but if not, Christmas would be it. And Christmas Eve is it for us. And he just gave me such a different perspective. And he said, you know, he said to me, you know, like, oh, Shotzi, honey, he said, you know, her death would be hard no matter what. And don't make it any harder on us because it's Christmas. Don't let it be any harder. And it was really, he changed the whole way I think. It gave me an entirely different narrative and perspective and like memory space and way I viewed this whole, he saved Christmas for me, I believe, because I look at all the other people that I know that deal with deaths around the holidays, and that's kind of the theme of it for them. It's like, well, I'm entering my hard season, I'm entering my hard space, and they almost kind of surrender their right to celebrate the holidays or love the holidays, and it, something shifts in them, and it becomes this time that's sad, and it definitely is. And listen, nobody was more sad about a death than me and my mom and my dad with my mom, and he loved her so much, and he just shifted the entire way I look at timing and death and anniversaries, and he shifted the way that this death did or didn't become my identity also, and there was power in that. And he said, listen, if she's got to go, if now's her time, then I love that it's on like the best day of the year. And he goes, we're not going to let it be sad. It's not going to be this doom and gloom thing. We're going to rejoice and be thankful that she got this really cool exit. And that's what we did. And we sat in that hospital on Christmas Eve, and he said, do you feel the magic of Christmas? Do you feel how special it is? He said, it's like we got to say goodbye to her with the best exit, the best going. What a great season to leave. He goes, it's the coolest day to die. You know, he kept saying it. And we brought presents to the hospital with us. It sounds kind of weird and almost morbid. And even the people at the hospital were like, I can't believe how much laughter was coming out of that room, even the day she died, the moment she died. And we were gift giving, and we set up like a little Christmas tree, and we were laughing still, and we took photos together at the end of the evening. Now, that's very German. Germans take photos of everything to the point of being a little morbid. But I look back on those pictures, and they're very sad. And there's definitely a presence in the room that's sad. But at the same time, there's something so beautiful to them. And you can see the joy and the peace in them. And so many people say to me, didn't know that death could be experienced the way I watched you and your dad go through it. No, it spoke to me and it touched me. And we had nurses come to us at the end and say, I've never seen people celebrate death like this or be this lively or lovely amidst death. I've never seen it. And they said we would walk in that room, and there was such a spirit of pure joy And she goes, I knew you guys were sad, but there was something really different there. And I don't think that would have came on my own. It was purely the part of my dad that understood the father. So glass half full, beyond glass half full. He could have a drip in a glass and he would be thankful for the drip in the glass. And he just said, what a beautiful time to die. He said, I wouldn't have had it any other way. And so what that did is it gifted me this ability to love Christmas, love celebrating my mom around Christmas, to embrace the fact that she got this beautiful homecoming during the most beautiful time of the year. I don't doom and gloom when Christmas comes around. I compartmentalize it. I celebrate her in my own way. I mourn her in my own way. It's also very close to her birthday. And when I think on her, honor her, celebrate her, sit with the memory of her, miss her, then it's just that on its own. I give her that. I honor her memory in that way. And I love those memories of her. And then I celebrate Christmas separately. And Christmas is Christmas. And sometimes I like to think about the two together and it does feel sweet. There's a sweetness. And that's what God does when you invite him into your pain and your suffering. He shows up supernaturally. And I think about in Romans, the first book of Romans, where it talks about how the person in right standing with God really lives. I love that scripture because it's true. There is still joy among suffering. There is this big picture beauty in the things that hurt. And you see him even in the things that feel like they're gut-wrenching. Or they are gut-wrenching. And I think one of the lies that the enemy tries to sell us is that our identity has to be suffering or pain, heartbreak, tragedy. And it doesn't. The enemy did not steal the Christmas season from me for the rest of my life. I'm not going to sacrifice that to him. I'm not going to give it to him. And he would love nothing more is to say, your mom died around this time. And you have to fully mourn her on that anniversary or you're not really mourning. That's not true. And I mourn my mom with every achievement, accomplishment, anniversary, marriage, birthday, achievement, heartache. I miss her in everything. I miss calling her. I miss talking to her. I miss praying with her. I miss serving the Lord with her. I miss her sweet spirit. I miss, she brought like a comfort, like a warmth comfort that I've never experienced out of anybody else. She was the most precious, sensitive, tender thing. And I mourn her every day. I honor her memory all the time. There's not a season I don't miss her. And I don't miss her any more in Christmas than I miss her in February or March or April or May. There's nothing. And so I'm not going to let the enemy convince me that a death means I can't enjoy Christmas or that I have to be doom and gloom because that's not what it is. Matter of fact, I celebrate her and I love her. And so the next year when Christmas came around, me and my dad threw a huge party at our house, at his house. And me and my best friend were just talking about that party this week. And she's like, that party was so good. And I'm like, it was so good. We had Christmas karaoke, a DJ. We had tons of food. We made homemade German sausage. We had people in every room on every floor, decorations galore. It was so fun. And we just celebrated her. We celebrated her. We were together. We honored her. And we did not let the enemy steal our joy. We did not. Because I've already sacrificed so much of my life to the pain of her. I'll hurt the rest of my life. I don't have to give up Christmas too. I get Christmas. I get to have Christmas. Dang it. And truth be told, The year we lost her was awful. The next year was better. But then the next year was worse than ever. So that goes back to what I said in our holiday emotional guide with, if you think your Christmas is bad or you think what you're going through is rough, it can get worse and it might. And odds are it will. So try to rejoice even when you can't. And if you are somebody who is hurting this Christmas season, Christmas is heavy. I was just talking to Lisa, who was on 2 episodes ago, I guess now 3. And she was like, yeah, it's my grandfather's anniversary death. And she was just the beginning of probably, I don't even know, 10 people I've talked to that hurt this season. And it just reminded me of how many other people are hurting this season also. And do not let your tragedies define your happy seasons or the best time of the year. You deserve the holiday and to celebrate and to laugh and joy. And if you can't get there, can I offer and suggest a peace with God and with the Lord where He will meet you and find you and bring a level of joy that is beyond your understanding. He met me through the entire process of death, every single step of the way. And death is not just death. Death comes with, we're going to have some episodes on death, but it comes with a world of feelings, from cleaning up someone's life to the trauma of it, to heartbreak, to family hurt, to betrayal, to all kinds of stuff, estate and money. And, you know, death is like the worst. Going through someone's stuff that's died is like trauma on trauma on trauma on trauma. There are so many heavy, awful things that come into death, but I would not want to go through it without a higher understanding of what the Lord brings. And I also had a really special encounter with an Uber driver in that season. And I had to take an Uber one night. I can't remember why, but the Uber driver said to me, "How's your Christmas season going?" And my mom was dying. You know, it was the final weeks before Christmas and her final weeks. And I knew she was declining. And I just got real vulnerable, you know, those Uber therapy sessions. And I said, "This is a hard season for me. It's not a great season." I said, "I'm trying to enjoy Christmas, but my mom is dying, and it's not going great." And he said to me, it was so simple but so profound, it stuck with me the rest of my life. He said, "You're experiencing death. Welcome to life." And I was like, ding. I don't know. It rewired my brain when he said it. And he said, "Well, death is one of the experiences of life, and you're in it right now." And he said, how is it to feel alive?" And I all of a sudden didn't feel so alone. I didn't feel so isolated, or, you know, why me? Or when you're going through death, when you're saying goodbye, it feels like you are the only person experiencing it, that it's just you. It feels like, I don't know, like bad luck. Or how did I get chosen for this? Or why? It's like very why me. It's easy to why me it up. And he said it. And I was like, "Yeah, you're right. You're right." And he goes, "Yeah." He goes, "Death's a part of all this. It's a part of the design." And I don't know if that Uber driver was like a secret angel. I do believe in that. I got some stories, y'all. I've had encounters with angels for sure. And I thought, it felt like something higher. It felt like something above came to speak that to me. I needed to hear it, because that also altered my entire outlook of it. Welcome to life. Death is an experience of life. And then that led me into my prayer life that looked differently after he said that. And I started thinking about it, and I'm like, death is by design. God designed death. It's a part of the plan. We have to have it. It's a part of all this. And he wanted there to be this sobering, gut-wrenching experience of death and moving on to the next chapter, the afterlife, what's next. And that whole experience just opened my mind to think about the eternal, and the spiritual and bigger things at hand. And it shifted every way I view everything. Thankful for that Uber driver and the gift that my dad gave me to not let that death define the holidays was so powerful for me. And I want to encourage that for you. Your poor heart, I'm thinking of you. I'm mindful of you. I know how bad it burns and it hurts. And you feel like if you choose to celebrate that you're betraying who you're mourning or you're sad for, or if you're hurting, it could be even something not death. It could be a new divorce or a breakup or the thought that maybe you're not where you want to be or you're not celebrating the way other people celebrate. A couple years later, like I talked about, I had a whole new handful of holiday hurt. I'm still trying to heal from those things, but the gift that I was given to celebrate no matter what, to find joy and peace and comfort in those moments no matter what, it shifted everything. And, you know, my dad, right after my mom died, my dad, we took the whole next day, Christmas Day, and he said, and now we rest. We need the rest. And he said, let's just invite the Lord to come and be with us today. And we did. And we were quiet and we were still. And he said, what a beautiful day to mourn. And it was. And I wouldn't have wanted it any other way. It was so beautiful. And he said, I'm going to get there. He said, we get to celebrate Jesus' birth and we get to celebrate her death at the same time. And he said, what a gift for us to have full vision of what this time on earth is supposed to look like. And he said, one day of birth is not sweeter than death. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says the day of death is sweeter than any other day on this earth. And it shifted the way I view everything. It was one of the biggest teaching moments, lessons that he ever gave me. And I spoke to the enemy because the enemy says, you need to hurt and lick your wounds forever and there is no joy in this. And the enemy would have said, question God on it. God's punishing you. Why would he do this to you? Why, you know, why this? Why that? I didn't have an ounce of that. Not even a little bit. Not even kind of. And do not let your sorrow define this holiday for you. I know it hurts. I know for a lot of us, it's sad and it's hard. It's really hard when the holidays start looking differently too. That can really ping your heart and it can sting, but you're not alone and it doesn't define your holidays. And try to find joy in it. Invite the Lord to come into your space. Say, can we twist the narrative of this? Can it have a surprise ending where it's happy, where it's beautiful, where we still create memories? And you want to know the real truth is some of my favorite memories with my dad was him and I navigating that. It was so painful, but we were just like buddy on buddy on buddy and trying to crack up along the way and, you know, taking care of her and not being that good at it and being just so traumatized by it all and just laughing and cracking up. And it's like one of my favorite memories together. And so there is this side of freedom in Jesus and spirituality and the Lord where he makes the bitter sweet. He makes the worst time, one of my favorite times, simultaneous. And even in that hospital room that day, I wish I had better words. I wish I knew a better vernacular to describe it, but we still unwrapped presents and we brought her little presents and she didn't even know what was going on. We propped them up by her and around her and we took like cute pictures and there was laughter. There was like a warmth in the room. There was a glow in the room. Even in the photos, I'm like, it looks like we had like warm ring lights in there. You know, we didn't. I'm like, where did that light come from? And it was the invitation of the Holy Spirit and Jesus in that room. There's a different side of mourning when you know Christ. There is this light and this freedom, this peace, this joy, this celebrating. And there is a acceptance of the way he designed things to be. And there is a peace that surpasses all understanding. So have an excellent Christmas season this year. You can be sad. And I always take a little moment, and I always take a moment to cry in the season, maybe a few. It'll burn so bad, it'll hurt me, but I give it what I need to give it. I cry, I think about it, I pray about it. I'll get in my head and watch old sad Christmas movies or listen to the Christmas songs that like really make me think of my mom, the Elvis Christmas album does. And I'll give it a good day of being sad and crying, but it does not throw me under. It does not hold me down. And I am thankful for it. It's a gift. I look at it as special and beautiful. And I enjoy thinking of her, missing her, and doing those things that we would have done together. And I will also then turn around and go celebrate. And I don't have to sacrifice the things that I love or bring joy. I've sacrificed enough to the loss of her. And I let joy be joy and pain be pain. And I put them in two very separate compartments. And it has saved me. It saved the holidays, my heart. There's still joy. There's still memories to be made. And so I encourage that for you too. And if you're hurting this season, I'm so sorry. You are not alone. And we all will have a holiday where it hurts, where we're fighting to find the joy in it. And it's just your turn, friend. It's just your turn this year. And you have seasons of joy ahead of you. Don't let the enemy take it from you. Don't let the enemy steal your joy. Maybe look at areas where it was painful, that there was maybe a gift in there or a learning or a teaching, or, you know, there was something good in there. And don't let every year be this like anniversary where you feel like you have to doom and gloom it. Instead, throw a party. Instead, take a night that week, do all the things you would have did together, have the cry, memorialize them. Is that a word? Memorialize them. Do something special for them. Visit their grave even. Bring a little Christmas wreath, you know, to the grave. Do that, but then you get to have a party. You get to celebrate. You get to go to the church services and you get to enjoy the season. And don't let the enemy tell you how to grieve. You do it God's way, where you look at everything as a gift and you count it all joy. I hope you have a really good Christmas season. You deserve it. It is so special and precious. All is bright and all is calm. And what a beautiful reflective time to go ahead and process the hurt too. It's not a bad thing at all. I hope you have the best Christmas. Thank you for listening. Thanks for dealing with me as I cry. That's like a little sticky bit of a story, but I actually love celebrating her, thinking of her every year. And it's like really fun to just be like, oh gosh, I loved her. I loved doing Christmas with her, even if it was her last. All right. I love you. Protect your heart this season. Be really good to yourself. You get to celebrate Christmas, even if you're hurting. I'm going to pray for those who are hurting this season. Okay. God, you're so mindful of our aching hearts. Anybody who is heavy this season, will you meet them? Will you show them a different way to hurt? Will you show them that you offer joy amongst pain? Thank you for being mindful of us. I pray that they will shift the way they hurt this holiday season. And if anybody is drowning in sorrow this year, Lord, supernaturally show up for them. Show them that you do offer a peace that surpasses understanding. Do you understand what that means, friend? Do you understand what that means? It means human language couldn't describe it. There's no real way to explain it. It's not like an earthly emotion. It means something higher and spiritual shows up and carries you and comforts you. And it's something you can't explain that no other human could do for you. And you get the gift of joy. It's part of the reward in Christ. Pray everybody has a good season this year. Lord, show us who we can give to, who might need us this season, who might need the little pick-me-up. Lord, can you show us who that is in our life that we get to be a blessing or a gift to this season? In Jesus' name, amen. do me a favor? Will you subscribe to this podcast wherever platform you listen to? Follow the show. Don't just look it up every episode, but actually follow the show. It helps us. And if this episode spoke to you, would you send it to somebody who's hurting this year or hurting in the past or has had any kind of loss? Will you just say, it's a good little listen? Okay. Think on your New Year's resolution. I hope you have the best couple weeks of this Christmas season. Try to enjoy every little second of it. And we'll be back on Monday and we're going to talk about my gangster friend, Mary. We'll see you soon. Bye, friend.